on a trip to think about the Garden of Eden in ways we hadn't thought of it before. And before we thought of sin in ways we hadn't thought of it, we thought of beauty in ways we hadn't thought of it. So, Father, would you help us with both sides? And so today, for everything we see that's broken, that's wrong in our life, in their life, help us to think about something that's righteous about from you. Everything that we see that comes short in relationships, help us to see you as what you've said about yourself and what you've exemplified. You know, when I want to think of compassion, I think of the couple verses we have about the God who sees in reference to Hagar. And I'm thankful as we look at the mess that resulted in the future from that. There was God caring for Hagar, thinking about God speaking with Cain and telling him there was another way. And so, Father, would you help us to look past what we're seeing in a way that makes us to worship? And thank you, Father, for the privilege to be able to do just a little of that here, Sunday school and then in church. Lord, that was to clean it all off and to participate in the songs that are sung, the words that are spoken around those songs, the scripture that is read, and then participate as here on earth we declare that you are King, that you are Lord, that you are our Lord, that you have bought us and that you have purchased us mercifully and called us to the task here of representing you. Thank you for this opportunity today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was ready to move to the last section. I think we'll get to that of the video here today. But before I did that, I told you I'd put those words up one more time.
I need to get to the end of that. Okay. Yeah. Yep. One more. Come on. Okay. Sorry. There were 17 slides. There they are. There they are. As we looked at this, you started talking about what happens as if the problem is that big that the gospel gets lost inside of the church for whatever reasons. It's always going to be imperfect, but if we've gotten sloppy with things like baptism, which was talking about the one becoming part of the many, okay? The Lord's Supper, the many becoming part of one, Christ, the head of the church, public identifying with Christ. If we've gotten sloppy with understanding that, all the mess that comes from that on one side, on the other side, nothing changes if the gospel is really the gospel and the call that he's called us to is still the same, okay? But if we have to look at life and service down here as including these words. We're looking for something that will help us right here, American church, now, okay, figure out what's going on to make us so independent, so consumer-focused, like I can't live here, can't live in my life, I need a better church, I'm not asking for anything, but it just something doesn't seem right, okay? These words are an attempt to counter that attitude. All right, but maybe just generally, ask one more time, what crosses your mind as you see a life and service that includes these words? This is normal Christian living on your own and among the people of God. Is there anything else you want to say generally? And I wanted to address that part that talked about maybe this seems undesirable and unlivable. But is there anything you want to say generally about this? And if not, that's okay. I got plenty of things to talk about. So you're okay settling in with
life and service that lives like this. What is there anything? Yeah, Jonathan, what are you thinking?
I was thinking last week we going through these, we also went through some verses on, well, the hard aspects here, and what does the Bible say about how being a Christian will be difficult. Mm-hmm. And then we went through some of the positive things. And
positive rewards that would make the difficult worth it.
Go yeah, ahead. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, from the outside, even without reading it directly from the Bible, suffering is usually pretty apparent.
And suffering?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the downsides, they're pretty obvious in some ways. I mean, it's a call to live forth values that are completely different than the world. And in many parts of the world, there's a lot of persecution that comes from that. And then in the Bible, it then goes and tells us where it's going to be very difficult and how there's a lot that you're giving up. And like it can be difficult even for Christians to always feel the joy in serving Christ. And I was just thinking, one of the biggest testimonies we have to the glory and joy in serving God comes from those around us, the body that he put with us, ones who are a part of the church, and we have from them the incredible testimonies, living testaments to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And that's just evidenced in seeing radically changed lives. And you don't always feel it, but we can look to others and be like, wow, that's more than I can deny. And they're willing to give up everything. And so then that's something for us to hold on to as well, looking at others. And just one of the most prominent examples of that to me, the most powerful, is in Job 13, where he is suffering the loss of basically everything, and in spite of that, he cries to God and is like, though you slay me, yet I will hope in you. And that just, it, like, from somebody who doesn't know God but sees, okay, this person is suffering unimaginably, and for him to say that, that must be the most incredible God that is worth pursuing, for him to draw a response like that from him. And while it's not always that extreme, we have that in other believers around us that we can look to for encouragement, seeing, okay, this is not human. This change that comes here, it's not a natural human response, and there has to be a God that's worth following for that to be there.
Though he slays me. Yep. I don't trust him, or whatever that says there. It says something like that. Okay. What? Fine. That works. I mean, when we get we take back the biblical hope the way it's supposed to be, a hope that doesn't disappoint. Romans 5:5. Though he slays me, and I'll hope, trust in him. The examples of those around. See, it should say something. Remember we've said this before? When unbelief is studied in the church more than belief. Something's very off when everybody's so curious to study unbelief. You can either talk about that or talk about your general thoughts here again. Anything else before we move on? Maybe I can ask this. All right, study me, okay? Rather than just detach from me here, why do you think I find such life and hope inside of cutting a course forward that includes this? Why do you think I keep pushing this? And I don't mean it to be horizontal or to take you on, but you've got to get inside of somebody else's head besides your own. Mine's not. I need to get inside of yours. And ultimately, we're trying to see, have the mind of Christ. Okay, but looking why I find hope and life inside of this. All right, as opposed to I'm feeling a lethargy. Okay, people keep asking, "Do you think this is a strong church?" I don't want to start again. There's a lot of valuable pieces. We are not a reproducing church yet. Reproducing church inside of here. We are disciple making and continuing disciple. And one set, hear me carefully. I don't care about your kids. You say, what do you mean you don't care about your kids? Yes, I care about your kids. But see, when you keep looking for me and my family, me and my family, me and my family, you're not looking wide enough. It needs to be you and your family. But you got to think. Pastors were called to pastor churches that were unhealthy, right? When you went to seminary and somebody needed a pastor, you brought you and your wife and you had kids, right? None of it was said that your kids would find wonderful examples in all the other kids. You were the pastor. It was just expected that that was your job. You had to raise your kids among other families that might be at different places, okay? That's the context in which I'm saying, think again before you go, no, me and my family need me. Do you realize what pastors went through for all those years? And then missionaries, the same thing. Missionaries took their wife, and then they had kids, right? Praise the Lord, they had kids, right? They had to raise them around either nobody their own age, people totally of a different culture, and then when they came back to America, they had to parade them before every church who studied them very carefully. Say, what's wrong with that kid? I can't trust their parents because of what's wrong with that kid. All right? You think we get embarrassed about, you know, saying, hey, kid, stop that. Don't say that. Right? What does a missionary do? Right? We're looking for something beyond just what we need here. Life and hope inside of here. Anything final? What are you thinking, Brian?
It's important. People need to be settled. Like, people can't be unsettled. They need to be stable. Like this, a lot of these words have to do with like stability and just being like settled, like inside of yourself, I guess.
There you go.
You know, there's always going to be a bunch of reasons to, you know, want to go somewhere else.
Right.
It's never going to end. It's never going to go away. It's just the way it is. So I think just being settled.
No, I love that. That's exactly. Remember I've told you when I watch the pickup truck commercials, right? All right? There's the people that drive their pickup trucks just for the looks, and there's the people that drive their pickup trucks to get them all dirty, right? And to throw stuff inside of them, right? And the commercials show some sweaty guy getting out with cowboy boots, all right, after he drove through a whole bunch of muck. And then it stops right on the top of some ridge that your car can't get on, all right? And they go, that's Chevy. That's Ford, right? If you want a Dodge, you can have that, okay? All right? And that's what they say. It's doing what it was meant to do. It got banged around. This is talking about life that's getting banged around. And for the youth group, I don't even remember why we did it. Do you guys remember why we did the Energizer Bunny? What was that for? What? Yeah, fine, whatever. I did that. But what was it for? Faithfulness. Can you remember the little pithy line that went, what was faithfulness? Dependable through chaos? Something like that. Yes. Patience was active waiting. I'll mention that in the morning service. But for almost a year, I found a new Energizer Bunny commercial to put up. It keeps going and going and going. Faithfulness was dependable through chaos. Thank you, Brian. That's exactly what we're looking for. Is something, and that's what I meant about the pastor, the missionary. Pastors are mess, missionaries are mess, they're not better than you, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying we're looking for two totally different things. You're looking for these perfect pastors to be in among the mess, and then you go, oh, I can't be there. This isn't good for me and my family. It's like, well, it's not good for them and their family either. So then there must be something else. Yes, that's it. And you know one of my favorite verses is in Hebrews. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. An anchor for the soul. So this, it speaks of stability that comes from within, and your heart is at peace, all right? Which is, for years, people have sung, when peace like a river, it is well with my soul. Anything else? Yeah, go ahead, Aracely. What are you thinking? Here you go. Come on, say it. There you go.
When Brian said that to be settled.
What does it mean?
To be settled inside.
To be settled.
Yes, but you have to learn how we settle. How do we learn that?
Right.
If we don't have that principle, how can we get what he's saying?
Right. So we could throw that on the floor. I'm just going to say here, downstairs, there's a reason why one of the counselors that I trust the most, with Jim Berg, has a course down there. It's called Quieting a Noisy Soul. Okay? But where is he going to look? So you're right. There's disciplines that we're not used to. And where can you find the beginning of those disciplines? How about just live Psalm 1? Live Psalm 1. All right? Psalm 1. Don't just read it and hang it on your wall. Live it. Okay? As it differentiates between, with Sunday school, we're supposed to read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Okay? Let's read the Bible. Okay? This one, many of you have memorized, but don't skim over it. Think, what would it look like to live this here? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. Okay, you could sit there and spend all kinds of time thinking, how are those guys different? What does it mean to sit, walk, stand kind of thing? That the tons of studies on all that. But we're going to be in the middle of the world. So this whole thing of, I got to get out and get away from it all. Well, perhaps here. The thing is that there needs to be a clear line between what is scoffing, what is sinning, what is the counsel of the wicked. We got to identify that. Instead of trafficking in that, and that goes with what I just said. Why is the church studying unbelief? The church needs to be aware of unbelief. The church needs to shudder at unbelief. But the church doesn't, it studies unbelief only to get away from it, because it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That God has a final word. We're not sitting here and going, well, Muhammad said, or somebody else said. No, you're done with that. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. Remember that worrying is imagining a future where God isn't king, okay? So instead of imagining a future where God isn't king, you do what Jesus did with the devil. It is written. It is written. Whatever doubt comes, whatever, it is written. There's a clear line that we usually have a but that takes away the hope of the gospel. The gospel always has a but that brings us back to God. In his law, he meditates day and night. He, she will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. We're going to hear John 15 in the morning service here. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. That's the life that Brian's talking about. There's a stability. There's something pumping from within. The wicked are not so. Look at this. But they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Well, doesn't that sound like in Ephesians 4? Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects to him who is the head, even Christ, right? What is that? So we're not driven and tossed by every wind of doctrine. We're not blown. James 1 calls it the unstable man. All right? So here, the wicked are like chaff. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. There's nothing underneath. There's nothing firm. I keep thinking about the man who buried his talent. He said, here it is. I was afraid of you, so I gave it back. He said, no, if it was given to you, if for the honor of your master, you would have invested. You would have done anything but just be afraid of me. Here, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, sinners in the assembly of the righteous. They're blown away. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Yeah, and that's what you need. You say, well, I already know this stuff. Peter said, you already heard some of this, so I will always be ready to remind you. I've said in this mess, some of us haven't heard this. So humble yourself like Araceli just did and said, what if we don't have that contentment inside? You also need to find hope when Paul said, remember that? You can help me out. Is it Philippians? When he said, I've learned in every... Yeah, where is that? Where is it? Philippians, right? It's somewhere in there, all right? To be content. Think on what it means to learn. To learn it. You know, as you think, well, I've learned how to be poor. Have you? Have I? Yeah, yeah. See, to be content. So what joy? Joy is one of the emotions. I don't want to just say it's all, that's not healthy to just say it's all joy, but to say joy is one of the emotions. There's extra this, extra that, but you're able to just, here, keep moving. You're able to, he keeps going, steadfast plodding, keeps going, because there's always hope, there's always something more. Okay, go, anything else before, go ahead, Stan.
I don't like being late, but it is an extra blessing of hearing Tony Evans.
Yes.
And he was talking about purpose this morning, and if you look at this list, it's like what he was talking about was a built-in purpose. If we receive salvation, we've been given a built-in calling, and this stuff is a part of that built-in calling. Like
building, did you say?
No, built-in.
Built-in calling.
Yes,
thank
a built-in calling.
Yes.
Sorry, it's not my designer part coming out there. But where he was going is that we don't have to wonder. He did talk about the uniqueness that God called us to as well with our life specifically. But as a part of building up his kingdom, we've all been given certain things to do that are for every single believer to be involved in. How that plays out may be differently, but the baseline calling remains the same. And as I look at this list, that's basically what it is. It's things that we know we can be engaged in to fulfill part of our purpose.
That's it. There's something beyond us, above us, that we get to be a part. Humble yourself by casting all your care on him. Why? He cares for you. Yes, but like we're going to sing this morning in Ephesians, he is the cornerstone. That's the bottom, the foundation. He is the head. He is the vine, right? That you humble yourself. If you're remembering all that stuff, then you're not alone. Then you're not alone. Then you can stay planted by the stream. Anybody else? Then I'll move. Okay. No, it's good. It's good. Just there has to be a way. Just right back to what was started with if we have totally different values, and maybe we need to ask that: do we really have different values than the rest of the world? Okay, if we have totally different values, then we need to expect conflict. As long as there's sin in you and I, let alone in what's going on out there, okay, then there's going to be a war within, a war around, and a war to move forward. There must be something. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Study those, all right? I wish my children had read more books. But I can only whine and beat and plead so much. I finally decide, well, we're just going to read them. Here we go. I just picked up one off of my shelf and said, well, there will be one book that they have heard. So we're reading it. And so I'm going back through Isabel Kuhn there. And some of these classic missionary biographies from yesteryear. And I want to see people that were excited about giving up their life, and they didn't see it as giving, they just saw it as their natural calling. Isabel wrestled with her mother, who was the head of this missionary committee and that missionary committee, and she just begged Isabel not to go. Bitter, angry that her only daughter would think to go to China. Let everybody else go, not my girl. Okay? And just something to see Isabel wrestling inside of herself as she had other missionaries and others saying, hey, I've prayed for you since you were a little girl that you would go to China. Okay? And all this wrestling going on, her daddy loves the Lord, whatever. But this is inside of Christian homes. And then you get to the end and she goes, my mother really had a good heart. I think she was insecure. I think she was wrestling with things and just couldn't let it go. So please, I'm sorry I have to present mom in a bad light here. You know, so you realize it's messy. It's messy as we wrestle through this. So stop saying the perfect answer. Start coming back to where it lives, that's, you remember some of these things, and you can add. It's not an inspired list. It's just a go ahead, add to that. Be a thesaurus. Head in that direction. Okay? This is the life of the believer down here. We are looking for a new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. Are you? Am I? And not just a guilt thing. We're to remind ourselves that that's what, we're part of an eternal kingdom. Read Hebrews 11 with that. Okay? Darla, go.
Sorry, I just thought about this. I just want to say that list is really awesome when you're in a trial and when you're facing big things. I'm just so thankful for this church. So that's all.
That's what I was saying is that's what I need, all right? And since that's why I said if you don't relate to this list at all, we can decide maybe it's not biblical. But I want to tell you what, I need something to live by or I quit. I quit. See, you don't want stories like that. You don't want somebody to drop down the gauntlet, all right? But you got to look around and realize we have a responsibility. If we claim the gospel, that we have a responsibility to be faithful to that gospel, and the only way to be faithful has to come from God. And if it's going to come from God, you can't be frustrated, bitter, discouraged with God. God is the source of life. Therefore, don't misrepresent what he called you to. Don't misrepresent what he called you to. It's deep inside our being to say, I can't live for God in this environment. Says who? Right? It's not God. God didn't say that. I'm talking right to myself. I need something. See, to me, those come out of my biblical worldview. Okay? And anything that I'm studying is finding that it's heading that direction. So that's why look through. What does your life show? What is your fears? What is the stuff that builds up inside show that you really think the kingdom of God should look like? And once you identify that, at least Fitzpatrick did it for the girls in Idols of the Heart. Okay? She was Paul Tripp was talking about that in A Quest for More. He's talking about if we're not careful, we're masquerading, we're saying the God words, but underneath we're really living for our own agenda still, even under the God words. The point isn't to say it's all fake. The point is to say your disenchantment comes when you're not saying right things about what God's called us to be doing. Okay? Go ahead, Linda.
You said something last week that I wrote it down. It's not all coming together, but repetition. When we learn these things, we're supposed to do all things for the glory of God. And you need to keep it on your mind.
Right.
It has to be a part of you
right.
all the time to want to make changes.
Right.
It's, you have to walk around kind of with
that's,
thinking
that's,
it.
Yes.
And
right.
acting in it,
right. No,
to make that change.
That's the point.
You walk it, you talk it, you feel it.
Right, right. That's the point. When I, you know, it's not just me that that has a hard time with that. How are you doing today? All right, and somebody was. Mimicking me, and I think they say, I say yes. Is that what I say when you ask me, how are you doing? And I say yes. I don't know. I don't know what I say, but I have a very hard time answering that question, because on what level do you want to know? Okay? And I don't know what to do. I know when we're walking by each other, you know, you don't have time for an hour answer. I don't have a time. On the other side, that there has to be, that's what we're looking for, is to me, those are muddy truck words. Right there. It's just, I don't know. I got to work. I got a job to do. I got to go. What's driving that engine? Okay? And so the repeating, that's in his law. He meditates day and night. Keep it simple. Don't go find three more books that are going to say the same thing. And you know, fine, they can help. But you're going to come back to saying Deuteronomy 6. You're going to talk about this when you sit down, walk by the way, lie down, rise up. It's not spiritual posturing. It's just somehow we have to fit, you have to fit your spaghetti and your football and your movies into meditating on his law day and night. It has to, whatever, your gardening, all the other stuff has to fit underneath this. We're living for a kingdom where righteousness dwells. If they had been looking for a city here, they would have had one, but they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So that, again, I don't like making you upset. I don't like being upset. I'm tired of sitting around going, did you hear so-and-so? They messed up. Woo! Can you believe Christians these days? Guys, that's not what we've been called to do. Sit around and write a newspaper about everybody's failings. You sit around and realize they failed. You were part of that. You know them. You're tied to them. You're part of it. You can't, well, this is my problem. I was just trying to, I don't know. Nobody told me anything. Everybody knows everything in that church instead of I. Just study Yenta the matchmaker. She found a way to find out everything that was going on. Fiddler on the roof, right? She found a way. Well, I don't want to be nosy. You are nosy. You are nosy. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You all want to know. You just don't want to be known as the nosy one, right? So the point is, you could study the little bits of those who are giving up things, counting it loss for the sake of Christ. Maybe you don't want to give up everything for the sake of Christ, so you're not studying those people. But if you're looking for that, you could say, you know what? Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. That, look there. Look at that. Why did they do that? I think they were looking for what Christ said. I saw that. See? See, I'm not just saying half full, half empty, but it is saying if fellowship with Christ, I think he's going to point out that. Did you see this? Did you see that? There is the sign. The kingdom of God is spreading. So, all right? Okay. All right, here we go. Brian, am I on? Okay, let's see. Where are we?
Okay, guys, it's after 10 o'clock, and for those on the East Coast, it's 1 a.m.
Okay.
So I'm gonna stand up, say a few things positively, and then I'm just going to open up any quick questions or comments before we clear out of here in about probably 15 minutes. All right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Everybody with me? You feel free and get up and leave. It's after 1 if you're on the East Coast. You're not hurting anybody's feelings. You just get up and go get good rest because you're going to need it for tomorrow. Okay, here's one thing I've been saying to a lot of pastors today at the Nine Marks booth, or several times today. Positively, what are we wanting to see? You know, we call this thing, what's wrong with us? Okay, what should be marking our churches? Friends, what should be marking our churches is a love for God and a love for others, particularly those we've covenanted with in our local congregations. So five distinct things that some pastors care about one and not the other, I want to suggest all go together and positively should be making up a lot of what we're doing in our churches. Discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders, church planting, missions. Some pastors seem to really like one of those things or two of those things. But they don't seem to understand the connection in that whole thing. Like they like evangelism, but they're not much on church planting. Or they're all about missions, but they don't really see elders raised up in their own church. So friends, I just want to suggest to you that the little germ of it all is what you see there in discipling. That is me helping somebody else follow Jesus. So if I claim that I'm following Jesus, but I'm not helping other people follow Jesus, what do I mean by claiming I'm following Jesus? So, you know, if I were to confront you like that, I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm just wanting to know, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus if you're not helping anybody else follow Jesus? Because the biblical view seems to be that if you're following Jesus, you're going to help other people follow Jesus. So that's the sort of discipling aspect. That's the easiest way, a fellow Christian. But then if you learn to do that and that becomes common, then it's much more natural for you to be thinking about your non-Christian friends, even beyond your family, your own kids or immediate family. Think about how you can be sharing the gospel with other people to help them follow Christ. Well, then if you're doing that, it's not so surprising that you're going to start to see elders and leaders raised up in your church, because you're going to start to see people who have a track record of being fruitful at this and good at this, and that's going to tend to replicate itself. And then if you see that, you're going to be ending up with too many people in your church who want to preach. And you're going to need to be starting other churches. So you're going to start to be having church plants, not of dead limbs that you stick someplace else because you have this ought sense, I should plant a church, but because your church is actually growing. Not just in numbers of people sitting there listening, but in numbers of brothers who are called to preach God's word. And you're going to want to put them out to start new churches in places where they're needed. And then you're going to see, okay, I can not only do that in my own city or county, but I can actually help do that around the world in other places. And that's what missions have been from the Great Commission till now, starting new churches as the gospel goes out. So positively, what's wrong with us? A lack of that germ where we realize that for me to follow Jesus, it is natural and normal for me to help other people follow Jesus. And that's true about every Christian in our church, every man, every woman, whether or not you're a deaconess or a deacon or an elder or a pastor or on staff at a church. That's just what it means to follow Jesus. All right, that's my basic idea there. So, discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders, church planting, missions, it's all part of the same basic thing. That's the positive prescription going forward.
Okay, look, we finished. Their little hour talk after the... And just like I said about Psalm 1, I'm not apologizing for us thinking about these things. I think it's healthy. Okay, positively, what should be marking our churches is a love for God and a love for others. He said, okay, what is this? How is this going to play out? Five distinct things that should mark, take up a lot of the time of what we do in our churches. Discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders, church planting, and missions. Okay? We like some more than others. Okay? I can hear that in here. We're heading in there where some people are saying, we need to go get them saved. All right? I'm a little nervous about you getting them saved because you're not helping anybody in here grow. You go, no, I'm helping those in my household grow. Are you? Well, you're trying. Okay, fine. But there's other pieces. We're to grow together. Okay, but if we can't grow together, then you bring in 20 other people here, and then what? They just flounder like you? You need to be able to have life with inside of yourself. You need to be able to help not only understand what's going on in here, but to be able to help everybody else understand. Then you go out there, you help them understand. You help them understand inside of here. Remember what we're saying? There's a wider and wider gap in society between what the Bible's calling us to and what's being lived in the world. And as the churches disagree on all of this, he said, here's what happens. They focus on different parts, these and other parts. Okay? A lot of people say they have to go to a church where the worship is meaningful, right? Or where they, quote, get something from the sermons. But anyway, he said, there's a root that drives these five things, and a love for God, a love for others. What's the root he talked about? You should be able to answer this. You heard it, okay? And then just give me the first one. What's the root? What's the germ? Love is what he said should mark our churches. Love for God and a love of others. That should mark our churches, okay? But then he said, most of our time, love for God will lead to these five things, okay? They should spend most of our love for God and others will play out in these five areas. What's the germ that drives these five things? What, remember Sandy? Glorifying God? Discipleship? There we go. Now you're building, right? It was living for the glory of God. He said the key is in discipleship. It was us following. Me helping somebody else follow Jesus. The germ is following Jesus. You see it in discipling, and then me helping other people follow Jesus. I follow Jesus, then me helping other people follow Jesus. Okay? Think about this. How would focusing on our churches being marked by loving God and others foster this germ of me following Jesus and me helping others follow Jesus? How would focusing on our churches being marked by loving God? What are you thinking, Araceli?
This is for real, this church.
Go.
Because I have seen people in here they're really so kind, and they're learning what you and Tim and Pastor John are teaching us. I have encountered people who helping me, And I ask myself if this is for real. But I can see the love for Jesus that make them do this for me, because they're passing on what God is telling them in their hearts. That is discipleship, and I'm learning that. And I see the caring and the loving in a lot of the members in here. That where I come from, I didn't have this. I didn't learn this, and I'm unlearning. And what I had is very hard in my brain to unlearn that and really follow Jesus. And only to follow Jesus is to give up what I had learned what I had learned in my life throughout the past, and start following what God is saying in His Word.
Okay, all right. Loving God, all right. Loving God and loving others. Okay, it breeds living what we hear, study, and see. Living on display breeds living what we are hearing, studying, seeing. Breeds. Living, yeah, I don't like that. Somebody else that's better than me can clean that up. But figure out what I'm saying there, okay? It's the natural ground for us being on display, okay? Ed Welch has a big book called Shame, okay? I believe many of us, we say, I don't have shame. Good, stop being defensive. Everything that goes on. Do you realize when you have people in and out of your house that sometimes I hear about what they see at your house? You go, that's it. Nobody's coming to my house, or nobody's telling John David. We thought, well, is that? Wait, where'd you find that in the Bible? That it's not healthy for what goes on in your house to be seen by somebody else. Okay, where did you find that in the Bible that the people you ought to watch out most for are your spiritual shepherds, your spiritual doctors? Watch out. Anybody can know, but not them. I choose. Where'd you find that in the Bible? Does it mean I'm always right? No. Does it mean Pastor John's always right? No. Does it mean she's always right? No. Does it mean he's always right? But you hear what she said? She said, I'm seeing it lived on display. You go, oh, but you'll see the dark stuff. Well, you ask Araceli. She has plenty of dark stuff that she wrestles with. You have plenty of dark stuff. She's looking for something that's reliable that comes from God. Is that what you're looking for? Then you look past all the dark stuff and you go, That is worth keeping. So I'm thinking, you want to be biblical? Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And you know what that means? It means, yes, your good deeds here, but it's going to have to go home. And you go, well, I'm not always like this. Yeah, but that whatever happened in there is part of you. That's not all of you. That's part of you. You don't have to hide it. If you're trusting him, the more you're in him, you go, okay, I was a little embarrassed about that. I wish that wasn't part of my life. But you know what? It's a sign that God's working when more of all of it just comes out. Not all of it. Don't worry. It'll all never come out. But more than you are ever comfortable with before, as you live on display, it's a sign that God is working, that it's a real faith. What are you thinking, Tracy? Go. Shoot. Shoot. Yep.
So this is a question now. So how do I help others grow? Is it by what was just said, by, you know, doing the Word of God? I mean,
following Jesus, help me.
Right. I mean, is that the application? How do you, you know, when it says, how do you help others grow?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what am I supposed to do? What is that? Is it being Christ-like? Is it?
Okay. All right. Well, all right. So bring this down to ground level. Ready? Okay. I'm dead tomorrow. Susie's dead. All right. Ready? And we're going to put all my children in here, and you're going to take one of my children and help them to follow Jesus. Okay? All of you are like, good. I get one shot to straighten this out. He really messed it up, but we're going to get one shot. Okay? What would you do with them? See, the first thing you'd have to do is to bring them into your home. The first thing. And then you go through that whatever dating period of, I see his father in him. I see his mother in him. And after that, you have to say, well, good, they're dead. And it's your job now. You go, nope, I'm not signing off on this kid. All right? I do the ones that came right out of my own body. It's like, well, do you want to say that? Stop. And just to come back to where Tracy is. See,
Yes. We've been talking about these things, that we got to be in the Word, we got to pray, we have to, quote, share with each other's help. She's saying, how would it live? And I'm saying, the first step, I think, is being able to let people get close enough to you. That's why I said they have to live with you. They have to. And you go, well, how far do they have to live with you? It's one of the reasons why we're reticent to be able to drop services in here. I get it. Believe me, everything you've thought about when you think about why do we have to do it this way, believe me, we've thought about it. It doesn't mean we're right, but it's one of the reasons we've thought over and over, if we meet less, right, how do we tighten up more as a body? And you go, well, we can. I know this church somewhere, and they're tighter than everything, and everybody's cared for, and all the children turn out right. Stop it. And they help all those that are struggling with the sex trafficking, and they help all those that are on addictions, and they all come in, and they all, stop it. You don't even want a church like that. It's more work than you ever want. As you're starting, what she's saying here, I think the first thing is getting close. I think you ought to thank God that we're not together more. We're not all living together more. We just get to get little leaks in here. What are you doing with those leaks? What are you doing with it? And when you hear stuff from me, instead of just reacting, going, that's John David's opinion, you go, what is he looking at that I'm not seeing? What is he seeing? Not in a negative way. Think, how do we join that? So I would say the more freedom we have in Christ, it will come out. You want to care for people? All you have to do is get close to them, and the picking will start coming. I very rarely heard somebody say, I'm looking to be unkind to you. All right? They say, what they say is, I'm not meaning, I'm not saying. And I say the same thing back to you. I say, well, I didn't mean that. What did you mean? And that's what happens when we get close. He's talking here about following Jesus. Then you, when they live with you, you say, well, I don't know. I need to look there. You need to look there. Olga, what are you thinking?
Good. Because I think we really need to get it. Among other things, I was thinking with helping others, I think what not to do is not to come with attitude that I need to fix you,
mm-hmm.
or I need to make you in my image. But I think, among other things, we should be able somehow to point them to Christ, where we ourselves are looking, and okay. also to be... as real as possible. Like you said, we have to be close. So we can't pretend that what we're not.
There you go. You're right? You know how this works, right? When you tell your kids, all I want you to do is follow Jesus like I'm trying to, and your kids are dumb enough, they just raise their eyebrows like, you're following Jesus? Right? Right? And then you go, don't backtalk your parents, right? And you're like, well, they just said it. They may be right. They may not be. But the point is, if they're not seeing Jesus accurately, they don't have the final judgment. On the other side, maybe they're seeing something that you're not seeing. Don't respond to everything your kids want. That doesn't make you a better father or mother. What are you to respond to? The place you're looking. Are you looking to Jesus? That's why that really sticks in my head. Jody said it, I'll give her the credit, but a bunch of you have said it, and it's in the books. They're saying, are we saying truths about Jesus? What did he say to us? And you go, well, he told me to love everybody and I can't. No, he said love him. Love him, right? So point them to where you're looking. That's why I've said spanking was the biggest punishment when I was a child. Take your spankings from God. Don't spank yourself, and don't take them from everybody else. Everybody else isn't fair. They can be tools of God, all right? So don't discount when they're whacking you around, all right? You feel like you're being beat by everybody. But take it ultimately from God. God, what are you showing me? Not what are they showing me. What are you showing me through what they're showing me? Okay? So it's calling into question whether you're really following Jesus. That's what you were called to do. You're to be a disciple before you make disciples. So there you go. Live with them. Point to where you're looking. Can you add to this? Where are your thoughts? Go, Jim, the pastor.
Following Jesus. What Jesus are we following?
Okay.
Those dark things we talk about, they all become distractions.
Right.
And I got to go back to a book again I mentioned before, Gentle and Lowly, Knowing the Heart of Christ. And I see, where is it? Got it up there. All those words you have there, have up there, discipling,
evangelism, raising leaders, church plant missions.
That is what Jesus was all about. And that's what we should be focused on instead of focusing on our dark side, the world system. I mean, sure, we got to pray for that, but it becomes distractions. And I'm guilty of it.
Right. Right. Learn of Jesus. See, what we're saying is every one of these things has subpoints. By eliminating distractions. Again, don't do the all or nothing. Like, I'll never spend time doing this. That's a waste of time. You just got to go, no, there needs to be less of that and more of this. All right? I always think about, is the tail wagging the dog? All right? It's not, can I do this? But you don't need a dog with five tails. All right? You need more dog than you need tail. What's the dog here? Love God. Follow Christ. There's the dog. There's the main thing. Are we characterized by this growing love for God? Again, you can't get this positively. Look at it negatively. Why can you turn on late night TV and find smut? Because smut is an easy laugh, right? You get, even if you think, oh, shouldn't be laughing at that. Oops, this is inappropriate. Somehow they do it every time. All right. Well, what does love for God do? No matter what you're talking about, it again falls back to, but let me tell you. Let me tell you something about God. Let me tell you about that. You go, what does that have to do with changing the oil on my car? Like, I don't know, but it did. Right? And you're not posturing anymore. It's the desire of your heart. So are you learning? Part of learning means you're going to have to quiet some of the distractions. Okay? Pastor, what are you thinking?
My mind's all over the place.
Good.
Pride, ego, fear, things like that keep us from growing or sharing, et cetera.
Right.
Needing to be open.
Yeah.
To be open, to ask questions, to be willing to be asked questions.
Right.
So that
right.
you can answer them. How do you handle life? How do you feel when this happens? How do you do with that? Finances, health, children, whatever it is, wife, whatever it is, being willing to open up. I am, most of you don't believe me, I am an individual person. I am not outgoing. I can clown. I can do this, etc. But me prefers to be alone probably far too much. So I am not good at opening up conversations with others. But to be willing to open up, to be willing to share, again, fears, whatever. That's how you share Jesus. How do you handle life? How do you live it?
Conversations, initiating, you know, and then just being. Don't, all right. I get myself in trouble. I enjoy going to be with my brother for vacation. You know why? Because there's no expectations. All right? You go to some people and they're always like, oh, did you want to go to the park? Did you want to go to the mountains? Did you want to go eat a jelly donut? Did you want to go? And it's like, well, everybody goes to this jelly donut place. And it's like, no, I just want to be. Can I just be? And he's like, okay, it's fine. I'm like, what are you doing today? Well, I was going to work and then I was going to this and that. He has no expectations on me, none on him. It's like, Lunt, he'll care for me, he'll give, but he's not flurrying around going, did you want brownies? I remember the last time you didn't eat them and you hated them. And he's not worried about that. It's like, you guys hungry? You want it? It's like, well, I thought I'd make chicken. I was like, well, we were going to do this. He goes, oh, okay. Right? He's like, it's like there's no pressure. I just be. There's no, it's like, well, if you flip out, you know, he realizes, all right, you're working on that with this kid and that, and he gives this little grin, and he looks there. He has opinions, but for right or for wrong, see, when Dad says he gets quiet, my brother will get quiet sometimes. I study him for a while. What's this even keeled with that? It's just, you're free then. What do I want to do on vacation? Nothing. And you go, well, that's standard boy answer. I don't know. Maybe the boy, you're the boy that likes to do it. I don't want to do anything. I want to sleep till I don't feel like sleeping anymore. And then I want to get up and read. And then I want to go for a run. I want to do my sit-ups that I don't do at home. And I want to, right? And I want to do, all right? And you're like, that's vacation? It's just, I just want to see the world just a little bigger than it was. And before I do that, I needed to slow it down. I just need to slow it down. You hear what he said? Then willing to be open means starting conversations. You go, well, I don't know. I can't start them. Okay, then that's the work part of your growth. The other part is just being and saying, well, I'm not good at talking. All right, so I'll be in the other room. If you want to talk, I'm in there. Okay, that's who you are. You have to admit that this part I'm growing in, this part is me. Okay? What, John, what were you thinking?
Fosters that by helping us realize our inadequacies. I think that if the goal is to disciple, to love, to that the whole list up there, and that's included in loving God and loving others and bringing the others to Christ, if that's our goal, then we realize how blind we are, the blind leading the blind. We are hopelessly unqualified for leading others. So if we truly love others, if we truly love Christ, then we'll see that the only way we're accomplishing our goal is through Christ, and that nothing of this goal can come from ourselves because of how underqualified we are and how overqualified he is to bring us to himself.
And recognize. Yeah. And was it Sandy? No? Okay. No. All right, because I've got to stop, but I wanted to catch your final thoughts. All right. If keep his goals, then recognize only way to love him, them, is by when I say looking to him, meaning you're following, just like you would follow YouTube to try to save yourself money on some project. You're following it step by step. You're following somebody that seems to know how to make it, how to do it better than you do. You're looking to him. You're looking past me. You're looking past her. You're looking to them. So that's point them to where you're looking. If you keep, only if you keep his goals. That's where I'm pushing and saying, do you really have these goals? All right? If you keep his goals, then you recognize the only way to love him then is by, right, here, for time's sake, I'm just going to say looking to him. All right? I picked that up. You think on that. Let it go, Nicole. Okay? You're going to answer that again. Then you're going to say, what would we need to do to strengthen this germ or root of following Jesus in our lives individually? That's the root. And then as a church, what would we need to do that? Okay? And then that last question. Yeah, all right. Look, three questions and I'm done with this section. Then we get back to why did we take 8 years to do Future Grace, and then we're done. Okay, Father, would you help us? Thank you. Thank you that there's starting to be a bridge between the abstract and the practical. If this, then how that? Help us, Jesus. We're not where we should be, any one of us. But to say that does not mean that you won't use us to help each other, because we're different, to be able to look at the one who is unchanging, the one who is able. Teach us how to live a life of prayerful dependence. Teach us how to meditate on your word and not on ourselves, on our successes or failures or boundaries. Teach us, Father, that you're looking and caring for more than we are. And help us to see what that more is right here where we are. And then, Father, would you equip us for what you have for us in the future or whatever's going on around the world. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.